If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We're in a series of messages on the life of David, and we come today to that famous story of David versus Goliath. I want to talk to you for a few moments about slaying your giants. We all have giants that we face in life. There's the giant of fear. We're living in a time of economic uncertainty like most of us have never seen. Plenty of people are afraid they won't be able to put gas in their car and groceries in their pantry. Then Russia is waging war against the West and the Ukraine, and now war breaks loose in the Middle East. There's no shortage of things to be afraid of. Perhaps you're facing the giant of grief today. Someone that you loved is gone. And now a black cloud of sadness follows you around, and you wonder if it will ever lift. Perhaps you're facing the giant of personal sin today. You thought you had that thing whipped, but it's reared its ugly head. You just don't know how to beat it. Your giant is any obstacle or challenge that you struggle to overcome, and we all have them. Good news today, God wants you to overcome your giant. And he tells us how in the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to pick up our reading really at the end of the story. Look at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took from thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sha'arim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. What a story, and a story we all love. Now, if you remember, David was initially sent to the battlefield by his father. He had an important mission to deliver sandwiches to his brothers. While he's there, he overhears this giant Goliath defying Israel and blaspheming God. But everyone in the whole army is scared of the giant. They're not doing anything about it, even King Saul, Israel's resident giant. So David says, if no one else has the courage to fight him, I'll fight him. If you remember the story, his older brother discouraged him. You're just a naughty little boy. King Saul doubted him. You're too young. You don't have any weapons. David said, God delivered me from the lion and the bear. And by the way, to a young man, a lion and a bear are giants in their own rights, aren't they? I've seen God slay giants before, and I know he can do it again. I want you to notice this. Before David could face the real giant, he had to face the smaller giants of doubt and discouragement. And even as you're listening to the message this morning, you're thinking, the giant in my life won't ever fall. I've tried everything. That is the voice of doubt and discouragement. It will keep you hiding in the camp when you should be standing toe to toe in the valley. And I want to challenge you for just a few moments. Don't listen to the voice of doubt and discouragement. Listen to the voice of hope. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the word of God. And what do we learn today about slaying our giants? I want you to notice, in the first place, we all have giants. Isn't that true? We have obstacles. We all have challenges. We all face threats. Whatever you're facing today, you're not alone. You're not the first person who's faced this giant, and you won't be the last person who's faced this giant. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." So everyone has giants, and let me add to that, every giant is beatable. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Now, some people think that verse means that God will never give you more than you can handle. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what that verse is teaching. Wasn't a 9-foot-tall giant more than a shepherd boy could handle, humanly speaking? Certainly he was, right? The verse is not a promise that you'll never face anything in life that's bigger than you are. The verse is a promise that you'll never face anything in life that's bigger than God is. Nothing that you and God cannot handle together. That brings me to the second point. We all have giants, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, when David picks up the stones and finally gets into position, he and Goliath engage in some epic trash talk. Guys love to trash talk, don't we? Whether it's on the golf course or at the shooting range, everything's a competition, and we're looking for every psychological advantage we can get. I promise you that. Now, I grew up in the 90s, and my favorite sport was basketball, so Michael Jordan was my favorite player. He is the undisputed GOAT, and don't even talk to me about LeBron, okay? A few years ago, I watched a popular documentary on Jordan, and one of the things they talked about was his trash talk. He may have been a better trash talker than he was a basketball player. In the early part of his career, he'd talk trash, and guys would talk back. When they talked back to Jordan, he would say, "I took it personal," if you remember that. And he would decide not just to beat the guy, but to destroy him. So as his career went on, nobody talked back to Jordan. Well, Goliath was the Michael Jordan of his time. He's this big, tall guy coated with armor from head to toe. He has all the latest and greatest weaponry. And here comes a teenage boy with a sling and a few stones. And frankly, Goliath was insulted. He took it personal. He says, "Am I like a dog? You're trying to poke me with sticks? Boy, by the time I get through with you, you'll be bird food." You know what I love about David? He doesn't back down. "You may come at me with sword and spear, the latest and greatest, but I'm coming to you in the name of the true and living God. You're tall right now. You're going to be a lot shorter when I get done with you. All the world is going to know there's a God in Israel, and everyone here will know that the battle is the Lord's." Folks, that's where his courage came from. That's where his confidence came from. David knew that the battle belonged to God. Can I tell you, many times that's why we fail in the battle? Giants defeat us again and again because we face them in our own strength, and we lose. In Ephesians 6, Paul gives us that famous passage about the armor of God. You remember it? He says, "Put on the breastplate of salvation," or the breastplate of righteousness. "Put on the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith." And those are things we need to win the battle. But before he tells them any of that, he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So get this. Before you do anything else, you need to lean on the Lord. You need to trust in God. And let me ask you, what are you really depending on to help you win the battle against your giant? Alexander McLaren was a great Bible commentator. Here's what he wrote. "He who has the Holy Spirit in his heart and the Bible in his hand has everything he needs." And that's true, isn't it? Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our battle is not physical, it's spiritual. When you go into a physical battle, you need physical weapons, and thank God for those who fight for us and defend us in the physical realm. But we're talking today about a spiritual battle. And to win a spiritual battle, you need spiritual weapons. You have to fight fire with fire. One great weapon that God has given us is the Word of God. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. Did you know that Jesus faced a giant? Did you know that Jesus himself was tempted to sin one time? Tempted by the devil himself. Talk about a showdown. And in Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempted Jesus 3 times. How did Jesus respond? Well, I know what he did. He mustered up enough willpower to defeat the devil. He certainly had enough willpower, but that isn't what he did. Jesus had the benefit of a support group. That can be a good thing, but that's not how Jesus defeated the devil. How did he defeat the devil? Three times to every temptation, he responded, "It is written." He quoted the word of God. He swung the sword of the Spirit. I want you to listen. Lies are the enemy's greatest weapon. And if you're going to parry his attacks and fight back, you have to be armed with the truth. So the next time the enemy tells you, you're facing this trial because God doesn't love you anymore. If he loved you, you wouldn't be going through that. What do you need to do? You need to fight back with the truth. The Bible says God has loved me with an everlasting love. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward him that fear him. Fight lies with the truth. When the devil says this giant is invincible, it is impossible. Answer him, actually, it isn't. With God, all things are possible. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The word of God is a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. Learn to use it. Learn to wield it. Another great weapon we have in our battle is, of course, the weapon of prayer. Maybe you came to church this morning and you're overwhelmed by anxiety and worry. Can I give you a suggestion? Take whatever is on your worry list and turn it into a prayer list. Listen to what Paul said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's how you defeat a giant. Worry, grief, addiction, whatever it is. Learn to look at that giant in the light of God. Don't look at God in light of your problem. Look at your problem in the light of God. God is bigger than your problem, no matter what you're facing. And prayer helps us to put things back in their proper perspective. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. You've prayed that famous prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." And it's okay to pray those words, but it's really a model prayer. He said, "After this manner, pray ye. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now that is not how we pray, is it? If we had written the model prayer, here's what it would have sounded like. God, give me my daily bread. Here's my list of needs. Great to talk to you today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Jesus said, don't pray like that. When you pray, spend some time contemplating the awesome character of the God whose presence you are in. My Father is in heaven. He sits on a throne and he controls everything. He's the king and his kingdom is coming. His will be done. Spend some time thinking about the greatness of the God you're praying to. Then you'll be able to put your problems in their proper perspective. You have a big view of God, you'll have a small view of your problems. You have a small view of God, you'll have a big view of your problems. And prayer helps us to put our focus back on the greatness of God and thus to see our problems for what they really are, and they're really pretty small. Goliath was big to David, he was small to God. And whatever you're facing today is rather small in comparison to the size of your God. So whatever you're worrying about, pray about it instead. It's a powerful weapon. Prayer and the word are our weapons, and the battle is the Lord's. That brings me to my third point this morning. Because the battle is the Lord's, attack your giants. Attack them. Now, verse 1 says that the Philistines were camped in a place that belonged to Judah. That was Israel's territory, and they had allowed the enemy to take it. Then it says in the passage we read three times that Goliath came up to challenge Israel. So I think a lot of times when we think about this story, we get the idea that the Philistines are on one side and the Israelites are on the other side, and Goliath kind of shouted across the valley to the Israelites. That's not what the Bible says. It says Goliath came down from his mountain and up to where the Israelites were. If I could say it this way, he got in their face. Now look at verse 48. I love the way David responded. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He attacked. He faced his problem head on. What should we take from that this morning? You can't be passive with a giant. You can't compromise or negotiate with a giant. You have to attack it head on. Let's get real practical here for a moment. Let's say that there's someone here today and you have a problem with alcohol or drugs or pornography. If you just sit back and wait for that thing to go away on its own, it's only going to take more territory. It's never going to go away that way. Maybe it started small, a drink with the guys, a glass of wine with dinner. But now you need a drink to get you going in the morning. Now you need a drink at lunchtime just to get through the workday. And then, of course, when you come home, you need a drink to unwind. And that drink turns into two or three drinks. It started very small, but now you're drinking every day and you're drinking a lot. It started small, but it turned into a giant. That's what giants do. They start small, they grow larger, and they will keep taking territory until you attack it. So what do you got to do? You got to bring your giant into the light. Refuse to allow it to hide in the darkness. You have to come clean with a spouse, a friend, a pastor, somebody. Don't just say there's a problem. Say there's a sin problem. I have a sin. I need an answer. I can't be passive anymore. I have to fight. Because the battle is the Lord's. You have to attack your giant. And I want you to notice this lastly. When you fight, finish the fight. Finish the fight. Though Goliath fell, he was still alive. And we have all seen movies like this, okay? The good guy knocks the bad guy down and maybe even out. And he turns around to celebrate, or he turns around to help somebody else. And behind his back, in view of the camera, the bad guy gets up again, right? I'm back. And you say, you idiot. You should have killed him when you had the chance, right? Well, David swung that little swing. And he threw that rock as fast as he could. And the Bible says it was like a guided missile. It went right into his forehead, and the giant fell down face forward, believe it or not. But David didn't dap up all the guys in the army. He didn't raise the roof and boast in his success. You know what he did? He went and got that giant sword. He unsheathed it, and he swung it. It was probably a big guy, so he probably had to swing it several times, right? You say, that's kind of gross. It is in the Bible, okay? Goliath wasn't going to be a problem anymore. Goliath wasn't going to cause any more problems to the people of God because Goliath was dead. David finished the job. Now, here's your choice today. Kill your giant, or your giant will kill you. Kill your sin, or your sin will kill you. When you're facing a giant in your life, you have to get radical. Half measures won't work. If you give half measures, he's going to come back. Now, what does that mean? And again, very practical today. If you have an alcohol problem, pour it down the drain. Stop going to the bar. Stop hanging out with people that drink. You may need to go to detox. You probably need to go to a recovery program. But you can't play patty cake with a giant. You have to attack it. Let's say there's a guy here and he has a pornography problem, and a lot of guys do. You know what you need? You need filters on your devices, guys. Now, those filters don't always work. And if they're not working for you, you may need to get more radical with the thing. You may need to throw away your smartphone and get a phone that just makes phone calls, believe it or not. You need some accountability. Share your password with your spouse. Start meeting with a group of people. We have groups that meet here at the church. This is the fight of your life. The enemy fights dirty, and you won't win unless you fight back and finish the fight. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. It'd be better to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with two. He says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It'd be better to go to heaven with one hand than to go to hell with two. Now, this is obviously metaphorical, okay? And there's some guy out there with one eye and one hand, and he says, now you tell me, preacher. It's metaphorical, okay? In that day, the right hand was the hand of power. You made your living with your right hand. What Jesus was saying is, no matter how radical or extreme you have to get, do whatever you have to do to get victory over that sin. Kill it before it kills you. Now, folks, we need to be full of grace and mercy when it comes to the sins of other people. But we need to be ruthless against our own sin, because it will be ruthless against us. Goliath isn't playing around. Isn't it time we stop playing around? Isn't it time we finish the fight? I love David in this passage because he wasn't passive. He believed that God could give him the victory, and he rushed forward in faith. He attacked and he finished the fight. And the Bible says that when the rest of the Israelites saw that the giant was dead and his head was gone, suddenly they had courage. And suddenly they attacked the enemy. They joined David in his victory. And listen to this. In the same way that they shared in the victory of David, we share in the victory of Jesus. The greatest giant we ever face is death. And like the Israelites could not defeat Goliath, we cannot defeat our giant. Death is just the penalty for breaking God's law. We have all broken God's law. We will all die, not just physically, but spiritually, if we don't know Christ. The good news today is that we have a representative, someone who is willing to fight for us. Like David, his brothers discouraged him. Those in authority doubted him. But he walked into the valley all alone and defeated the giant by himself. David only risked his life for his people. Jesus gave his life for his people. And he proved that the battle is the Lord's 3 days later when he conquered death and rose again. When we come by faith to Christ, we share in his victory, even though we didn't lift a finger to help him. We're like those Israelites who didn't do a thing. And David, Jesus, is our representative who won for us a fight that we could never win. In Christ, we don't have to fear death. Death is a giant without a head. It's a bee without a stinger. If we get to live long and glorify Christ and we live for 70 or 80 years, guess what? We win. But if we get cancer and we have a heart attack and we die, guess what? We go to heaven and we win. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We win either way. There is nothing to fear because of Jesus. In Christ, we don't have to fear death. In Christ, we don't have to fear our lesser giants. Why? Because he's already taken down the greatest giant. Real courage is not the assurance of knowing that you can overcome any obstacle on your own. Real courage is the knowledge that you have a God who is better than life and bigger than death, and he fights for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So let's make it personal this morning. Are you trying to fight against sin and death on your own? Maybe you're a religious person, and you think that if you go to church enough or do enough good works, that maybe one day you'll make perfection, or at least you'll be perfect enough to talk God into letting you into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could get to heaven on our own, why in the world would Jesus have died on an old rugged cross? Would you send your son into battle if there was any other way? Of course not. Is God less loving than you are? The reason Jesus came is that this is a battle we cannot win on our own. We need Jesus. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see what the Bible is saying? The forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. It's a gift. And you receive that gift when you believe that Jesus died for you. Grace is the hand of God reaching down to you and saying, "I love you. My son died for you. I want to forgive your sins. I want you to have eternal life with me in heaven." Faith is your hand reaching up to God and saying, "God, I don't want my sin. I do want your son. I want your forgiveness. Give me your gift of eternal life." The battle of sin and death was a battle we could not win. Jesus won it for us. We enter into that victory when we come by faith to him. If you've never done that, we'll give you an opportunity to do that here in just a moment. Let me ask you as we close, are there giants in your life? We all have giants, obstacles that we struggle to overcome. Good news, the battle is the Lord. God is bigger than your giant. But listen, you have to want your giant to fall. You have to attack your giant. And when you do, you have to finish the fight. If you belong to the Lord, you are in this battle together. He's just looking for someone who's ready to go on the offensive. And I wonder if that's you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, encouraging story, the story of David and Goliath. And it has much to teach us about the battles we face with our own giants in our lives. Lord, I know that there are people in this room, both visitors and members alike, who are facing giants and battles that I could not imagine. And I pray today that they've been encouraged, that the battle is the Lord's, and with your help, if they will attack, they can get the victory. Lord, if there is someone here who has never received the gift of eternal life, I pray that right now, in the stillness of this quiet moment, they will. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I have just a few questions for you today. You have listened so well, and this has been a marvelous service. The most important time we'll share all day is right now. I wonder how many of you would say, as I think about my life, there is a time and place in my life where I recognized I could not get to heaven on my own. I recognized that Jesus died for me and that he rose again. I believe that God was offering me a free gift, forgiveness, and eternal life. And by faith, I received that gift. I know I have that gift, and I'm not ashamed of it. And if that's your testimony, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand with mine? Just hold it up for a moment, if you would. Wonderful. What a beautiful sight. I'm scanning the auditorium. So many hands raised today. You may lower them. I want to say, for those that didn't raise your hands, I appreciate your honesty. How many of you would say, you know, I really can't go back to a time and place in my life where I received the gift of eternal life? Either I've never received it or I'm not sure I have it, but I'd like to be sure about it. I'd like to receive it. Now, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I simply want to pray for you today. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I can't go back to a time and place in my life where I received the gift of eternal life. I'm not sure I have it. Pastor, would you please pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up and slip it down? Just slip it up and let me see it. And would you lower it down? I'm not sure I've ever received that gift. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If you raised your hand, and only if you raised your hand, just look up at me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. Here in just a moment, we're going to have what's called an invitation. Everyone will stand. We'll have workers across the front, men with men and ladies with ladies. And they will show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you've received that gift and how you can leave here today knowing that you are on your way to heaven. I know we're in a Baptist church today, but the way to heaven is not a Baptist way. It's not a Catholic way. It's not a Methodist way. It's the Bible way. It's the Jesus way. And we're going to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. So we're going to stand here in just a moment. Every head will stay bowed, every eye will stay closed, and I want you to meet me up front. And in a quiet place, we'll take God's word and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Now, Christians, how many of you would say with me, Pastor, I'm facing a giant. And I recognize today I need God's help. I'm making the commitment that if God will help me, I'm going to attack my giant and I'm going to finish the fight. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I'm facing a giant. I'm going to attack it head on with God's help, and I'm going to finish the fight. If you'd like to seal that commitment, we're going to invite you to come down to the altar here in just a moment and give your battle to the Lord, because the battle is the Lord's. Father, I thank you for what you've done today. I can sense your spirit is at work. Thank you for those that raised their hands and said they needed to trust in Christ. Lord, give them the courage that they need to take just one step for you. It'll be the greatest decision they ever made in their life. For every Christian in this room who's facing a giant, and so many of us are, help us, Lord, to give our battle to you, and help us to attack and to finish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.